On this day, we're reminded of the importance of dads, fathers, father figures in our lives. Celebrating special people in our lives can be a time of fond memories. You got fond memories of your father, and or fond experiences you've had with dad. And if you still have your dad, God bless you. And but you know, remembering Father's Day and special people in our lives can also be maybe some sadness or even some pain in those memories. And so today our prayer is that God would bring you joy in the fond memories and healing if there's hard times and pain in your history with your father. Our first men's group, it was a Tuesday, 1995. Three men gathered together for a 12-week study titled, What Makes a Man? 12 Promises That Will Change Your Life by Bill McCartney. Anybody remember the name Bill McCartney? He's the guy that started Promise Keepers. And he wrote a book, this book here. And so three of us got together and said, let's study that book. 12 weeks, revealed to us how we viewed ourselves as men and husbands and fathers. The book was about 12 promises that we as men, as husbands, as fathers, make to other people. We didn't know it then, but that first 12-week study would turn into 23 years and still counting of men meeting together to learn to accept who God says they are. And sometimes that's a struggle. And men are learning how to live out their God-given roles and responsibilities. You know, men, as husbands, were given the role of leading and the responsibility of loving. As fathers, we're given the role of fathering, nurturing, caring over, providing, and the responsibility to love, to breathe words of life and a future into our children. So today's message comes from listening to men over these last 23 years, and I present to you today two elements that men say are most important to them in their roles as fathers. So the first important thing they said is to understand their God-given worth. Anybody here totally agree with God who you are? Or do you sometimes struggle with? Do you kind of argue with him sometimes about your worth, who you are? Now, you may not say it that way. God, I disagree with you. But you might say things like, oh, man, did I blow that? Will I ever get this? I'm such an idiot. That was my term for me and still is sometimes. You know, I can think back, years back, of embarrassing moments in my life and verbally say out loud, oh, Delbert, you're an idiot. And I think that's the Holy Spirit's way of telling me, Delbert, you still have a little forgiveness of yourself to take care of. The importance of understanding our God-given worth. If television is any indicator of what our culture values, then in parenting, our culture views moms as essential and dads as optional. It views wives as leaders because husbands just don't get it. They don't have what it takes. These are images today men are trying to swim upstream against in our country, in our culture, as husbands and fathers. The influence of our culture on how men view their purpose and their worth has been very damaging. And it starts not just when you become a man, it starts in school, perhaps in the home, when we're little. But through Christ-centered teaching, through godly relationship in men's groups across the country, men are regaining, and I'm glad to announce to you, lots of men, thousands upon thousands, maybe millions of men, are regaining who they are in Christ because of men gathering together and the importance of doing so. Men, your worldview is a collection of beliefs and ideas, experiences and principles that greatly influence your thoughts and your decision making. What you believe about who you are significantly impacts how you father children. What we men are learning is how important having a God-centered worldview is how we function as fathers and husbands. What we believe about ourselves, built upon God's truth and Scripture, causes us to do some things. Number one, it causes us to give significance to why we exist in the first place. Have you ever met a man who didn't know why he existed? There's a man who's aimless. And in my past, I was there. Why do I exist? I don't know. Is it just to live each day, to go to work? Is it to, you know, I mean, I like to be nice to people, but is that my, what's my purpose? Why do I exist? Well, Scripture gives us those reasons. Genesis 1, 26, 27. God created us in His image, what He is like. In His image isn't talking about a physical appearance. It's talking about a characteristic. What God is like, is He true to His nature? Yes. Does He keep His promises? Yes. Is He truthful? Yes. Does He love unendingly? Yes. Is He unchangeable? Yes. These are characteristics of God, and He calls us to that. How? Why does He do that? Because He created us like Him, in His image, in His ability to do that. You, men, have the ability God has put into you to be like Him. Psalm 139. You were created in a very secret, wonderful place, your mother's womb, and created with purpose. What we believe about ourselves, built upon God's truth and Scripture, causes us to uphold the importance of our role as husbands and fathers. Do you think that your role as a husband or a father today isn't really, does it matter? Are you unmotivated to lead well because you don't think what you do makes a difference? The word father in the dictionary defines a father as one who originates or is the source of. God, our Heavenly Father, is the source of our existence, of our purpose. He's the source of why we have value. A father is a main source of children discovering their worth. And thirdly, what we believe about ourselves based on Scripture gives motivation to make godly decisions. Men, I want you to know this. Godly decisions means making the harder right kind of decision in the face and presence of a holy God. Making those harder decisions, doing what's right, when everything in you says, I don't want to do that. It's scary. It's hard. Maybe you believe it won't make any difference. Why put out the effort? Godly decisions means choosing the harder things that men must do and men must be and do them in the sight of our holy God, who calls us, men, who calls us to live beyond the wimpy images our culture says we are. Amen? You see, when you decide to live in the truth of your purpose and the worth of your God for you, your decisions, now hear this, your decisions give purpose and worth to those under your care. When you live a purpose life, when you live in the true value of who you are in Christ, that doesn't just stay with you. It goes to the next generation. King David, while ruling the nation of Israel, knew God as his source of purpose and worth. He spoke of his source, Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Anybody heard this before? I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's the kind of awe of how did you do that? Your works are wonderful. I know them full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. This is David saying to God about being formed in his image. I'm going to now rephrase this as God speaking to you, men. From this passage, God says to you, guys, would you just do this? You just close your eyes for a moment and hear your father speak to you. In your mother's womb, I created who you are. I left nothing out. I made you not only a physical person, but even more so, one who knows me deep inside your soul. People are in awe of how I created every one of them in a way that only I fully know. It is a wonderful mystery people love to ponder. And when I wove you together in the secret place of your mother's womb, I had already determined the purpose of your life, to show others who I am by living out who I made you to be. I delight in who you are. These are your father's words to you. I delight in who you are. It would have been wonderful to hear those words from my dad, but now in this stage of life, I understand that he had a broken heart. His dad did not give to him what it means to be a man, what it is to be loved and cherished and known and important. But that doesn't mean I or you have to go without these kinds of words. Men coming together and they say to each other, you are important to me. What Mike shared up here today about men's group and how it's important to him and what he sees in each man there. And what he gives to the group and what he receives from the group. Each man is important to a group. Men, I encourage you, when groups start up again here at ACC, get in one. And learn about who you are. And stand on the truth of God, what he says about you. God knows how important it is that you know he is your source and everything you need to be his man. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, God has given you everything you need for life and godly living. He wants you to know how significant you are to him. He knows that when you understand this, you will know how significant you are to those who lean on you, who depend on you. Fathers, I have an assignment for you. Teach your children, young or grown, those things that make you proud of him or her. And when you do this, you're teaching your children two things. Are you ready? The first thing you're teaching them when you tell them about how proud you are of them is that you take seriously how valuable you are to God and how important your role as father is to your children. You take that seriously. That's what you teach them. Just saying, you know, I'm just proud of you. Give them a reason why. Yesterday, Justin and I got to do some manly stuff together. We took that lift out there, and I had to call Gabriel twice to figure out how to make it work. And I got in that lift, and we put on these harnesses, and we snapped ourselves into the cage, and we got in that lift and went up in the tree up there and trimmed it. We got the chainsaw, cut things down. Felt good, Justin and I. And he ran the chainsaw and I ran the machine. It was great. And I got to see my son work so well and cut those branches. And he could see where what needed to be trimmed where. And we had Kayla on the ground giving us, you know, kind of a view of what the tree looks like. And it was fun. Justin and I work together. And I told him last night, Justin, it was so good to work with you, son. You're a good worker. You worked hard. I'm proud of you. Tell your children that you're proud of them and why. And give them not just a because they do this or do that. Give them a who they are proud of you. I'm proud of you because you're kind to people. God put that into you. So when you tell kids that, you're teaching them two things. The first is that you take seriously how valuable you are to them. And secondly, you teach them that you know how important they are to you. They know how important they are to you. When they know this, they learn their importance to God and how important they are to other people. This simple thing, men, of looking your child in the eye and perhaps with a touch say, I am so proud of you. I see you. I notice you. I want you to know I love you. We have a video today, and I'm going to share this video with you. Justin, would you turn off the lights, please? Share with you this video, and after the video is over, I want you just to make a comment to each other about what kind of impression you had about fathers and their children. What observations did you see in the video? What did you see? Saw love, tenderness, a willingness to be vulnerable. What did you see on the very front end of the question? A willingness, fear. This is hard. One dad, do I have to answer that question? What does that say? Yeah. Right. You should just know it. I don't have to say it. And then when the question comes, I feel really awkward with it. Yeah. Yeah, Colleen. Yes, good point. If you stay with each other long enough to break through the discomfort, the uneasiness of this question, then hearts begin to connect and love begins to flow more freely. Yeah.
I think it goes back to what you were talking about in the sermon with that value idea. Yeah. Of
yeah. Right.
And some fathers maybe felt like they
hadn't done enough to show. Right. So what Jeff is talking about is maybe the kids were afraid of what dad would say, and the dads are afraid of, how do I even put this? Yeah, of the question itself. Yeah, yeah. And so notice the fear and the fear. Maybe failure in there somewhere. But breaking through that, dads and moms, speak the value of your children you have in your heart. Let it come out of your mouth. Let your kids know it and see it and hear it and feel it, experience it on a regular basis. When I was in high school, there was the Bryant family, George and Millie. Millie's passed away now. Their three daughters, who were very cute, were in. I was in high school with them. And I like going over to their house. And so Melanie and Lori and Joni, the three girls, we'd have just a great time together. And mom and dad were special people. So I'd go over to their house. And those girls are hanging all over mom and kisses on dad and sitting on his lap. And just there's just lots of touch going on. I'm looking at them going, whoa. it was kind of enticing to me. But I'm kind of afraid of that too. I'm not used to that in my family. And then Mike, the oldest son, he was 25 years at the time. This is years ago. Lived in Portland, had his own business. He came home to visit. He walks in the door, sits on his dad's lap. 25 years old. I was probably 5 years old last time I sat on my dad's lap, and I couldn't believe it. He took his cap off, put it on his dad, all crooked. I'm watching this going, how can this be? And I've remembered that ever since. And there's emotion in that for me. And I thought, that's the kind of dad I want to be. That my kids are so comfortable with me that touch isn't even questioned. Wow. Well, that brings us to the second thing men say they need in their role as fathers. And that's the role other people play with them, in them. Speaking to all children, young and grown, to wives, parents, and friends, God has given you an important part in helping fathers remain on course in their God-given roles. Your voice is significant to them. Did you hear that? Your voice is significant to us as dads. Because in a lot of times we're kind of going, did I do it right? Or am I doing it okay? And if you see something good that a dad is doing, would you tell him? Because he's hoping it's good. He's hoping it's right. Tell them. Invest your voice into them. Your voice is significant. I first started a ministry October 1st of 1987 as a youth pastor in Cottage Grove, Oregon. And as a youth pastor, kids are coming to you all the time expressing how much they appreciate you. Not. And after 6 years of youth ministry, I wondered, did I do it right? Because kids they just don't think of, kids are into themselves, and that's all understood. That's okay. But I had a deep soul question in my heart. Did I do it okay, kids? Did I do it right, parents? Is it okay? Somebody tell me something. I'm kind of swimming around in this big ocean, hoping I'm in the right direction. And when I resigned, I was getting ready to leave, that's when the comments came. And they were wonderful comments, both from kids and parents. And I thought to myself, I wish I would have known that 6 years ago, 5 years ago, 4 years ago. It would have helped me know. It would have helped me have a little more confidence and be a little more courageous. So, give dads good comments. Do that this way. Number one, give them encouragement. Encourage them. Remind the fathers that in Christ they have what it takes to be successful. I remember in a men's retreat up at the mountain, we were going through some really deep work in the men, and myself and the men. We were doing it all together. And at the end of the retreat, I had one question for myself, and I didn't want to share it out loud. But one of the men saw something happening in me, and he said, tell me what's going on, Delbert. Tell me what's going on in there. And I said, I don't know if I have what it takes. And those guys surrounded me and prayed over me and helped encourage me, don't give up the path. Sometimes encouragement means you choose to comfort and walk with a parent in sorrow or hardship. Other times it means investing blessings or even giving some correction. Hebrews 10:25, do not give up meeting together, as is the habit of some, but all the more as you see the day of God approaching. Secondly, teach. Build up fathers with grace and with correction, with teaching and training. You know what? There's a lot of parents here who've walked more miles with kids than we have. Show us, teach us with us. If you see me doing something wrong, if you think I could do it differently, would you let me know? And I would appreciate you sharing that with me. Please do it in a nice way. And thirdly, be a walk beside her. Support in practical ways. Take the kids for a few hours so parents can get away. Listen to parents without fixing. Well, here, what you need to do is, no, I think parents just need to get stuff off their chest. Just listen. Pray over parents in their presence. Have fun together. Celebrate the parenting skills they're developing in their lives. This is good stuff. And finally, let's respond to God because of this message. Respond to God. Fathers and men who want to be fathers someday, would you please stand with me? Just stand right now. Fathers, guys who want to be fathers, stand with me. I have a few questions for us. After each question, if you agree, say, I will. When your children need someone to be proud of them, who will bless them with those important words of value and worth? I will. When our culture tells your children that God doesn't exist or even doesn't care, who will teach them the truth? I will. When your children are in sports, a play, a concert, or do something kind for others, who will watch them do that and then tell them you're proud of them? I will. When children have a question about God or life or relationships or hurts, who will take them to God's word and seek out his answers together? I will. When you as a dad need the help and encouragement of other fathers, who will seek out that help? I will. Church family, if you're willing, you stand. Stand up and put a hand on a dad next to you, somewhere around you. If you need to move around, move around. Put a hand on a dad around you. For what we have just said today is that men need to know, number one, their true value in God, and two, what you think of them and how you invest in them as dads. These are the two, in 23 years, these are the two main things I hear over and over again. So we together are blessing dads today. Dads, will you receive what you're about to receive, this love, encouragement from your family? Will you say, I will? Let's pray. Father, as we come together today, Father, we ask your blessing of strength and courage to receive love, the courage to ask for help when we need it, when we think we're sinking, not doing it right. Lord, would we be willing to ask others to be walk besiders? Father God, as church family, we bless you. We thank you, God, that we are learning today how important our words to fathers are and that they just don't like them. They need them. And so today, the blessing of being together and say, Father God, your value of men, your value of fathers and husbands goes deep. It's real. Lord, the value of another voice saying, I got your back. I'm with you all the way. Thank you for these words. And now we thank you that we, all of us together, get to call you Father. We each have a Father. In Jesus' name, amen.